Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer, shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
this is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh.
And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. I got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, joy down in my heart, today, today.
Amen, 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 amen. Got the joy down in my heart. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is another day that the Lord has made. Brand new, never been used before, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to another exciting training day. Amen. Giving honor to Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. And the Heavenly Father, Lord God, Jehovah, and the blessed Holy Ghost, amen, the angels host, amen, my blessed pastor, producer, Pastor Gerald Overall, amen, also known as Pastor O and his lovely wife, and Runner for Christ Ministries, amen, and Action in God Ministries, amen, and Renaissance Christian and Go Blue, amen, even though they went through. But praise God, amen, for all those saints and friends listening in throughout the world, amen, even the new people I met this following weekend. I say praise the Lord. You know, this is a day that the Lord has made, and that's what we're supposed to do is take advantage of it, enjoy it, but at the same time, take every opportunity we can to learn about God, and that's what we're here for. So let us go before the throne of grace. Amen. And gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for this opportunity, amen, that you purchased with the blood of your own Son. We thank you, Lord, that we are redeemed. And we thank you that we can rejoice that no matter what the situation, we can look forward to victory, Lord, because you have established it. Jesus, you said you overcame the world, and I know you did, and I thank you for it. Bless us, Father, this day with the spirit of your wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened that we will better hope and know what is the hope of your calling, what is the riches of your glory and the inheritance you have in the saints, and the great and exceeding power you have made available for those of us that submit and obey you. Strengthen us with might in our inner man, for yet, Lord, amen, we're still dealing with the many bereaved. Amen. Bless, Lord, and touch the hearts of those who are dealing with bereavement. Encourage them, strengthen them with might. Remember the Sims family, amen. Bless them, Lord, as only you can. Amen. To know that this is a that was a blessed outcome. Father God, we We thank you right now. We ask that you would strengthen us with might. Amen. We ask that you would bless us with the knowledge of your will. Give us the strength and to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father, I ask right now that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people. I want it to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You know, this is yet a challenging time. You know, I still hear of people passing away from COVID and other sicknesses. And is the unique part about it is I'm only 70, and these people are passed away that are younger. And if you're looking back, thinking of what I've been teaching and what you hear, see, this is what church is about. It's not only to prepare you to die, but in a lot of cases, if you get the revelation, depending on where you go to church, because all churches don't teach the word. Some teachers, I think some of them are afraid to go into the deep stuff because I think they take responsibility that if something don't happen the way they preach it, even though they preach it out of the Bible, they don't want the blowback to come to them. But, you know, this is, it's not a real simple situation, obviously, because the Bible wouldn't be so thick and it wouldn't be so detailed. As we went through last week, if you remember, we read in Leviticus chapter 18 and dealing with the leper. Now, the fact of what that was about is about is a typology. In other words, it's an illustration in the natural of something that goes on in the spiritual realm. Now, the spiritual realm is not some mystical, imaginary realm. It's the most real part of life. Part of life is temporary. I mean, there's plenty of evidence of that. You know, there are cars that don't exist no more. There are nations that don't exist no more. The Roman Empire, which was one of the largest world empire, span through the known world at that time, doesn't exist anymore, even though Satan trying to resurrect it and will make another final attempt at that. It's all passed off, you know, and you know, the thing is that you're blessed if you're hearing this. You're blessed if you know Jesus. If you're blessed if you know there's God. But you need to build on that. You can't stay where you started at. You shouldn't want to. I mean, to me, I don't know, right off the bat, when God revealed that he is and it was settled in my heart, I can remember the date. That was November 16, 1976. And God made it clear that wasn't the day I got saved. I thought it was because that was the day the light really was bright on, you know. I mean, it was a situation where I was, as the Bible called, baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's, I believe, is in Matthew 3:11. Jesus conducts the baptism. I don't think people pay attention to that because Matthew spoke of it and it didn't happen until the book of Acts. But it's a lot of moving pieces to this. And see, this is what I'm trying to do is add my little piece to it. This is why you can't – see, going to church isn't just a ritual. It is if I have to admit there are some ritualistic churches. They just do some rituals and y'all go home. You be there about 15 minutes. No, a church is supposed to be a teaching institute. Actually, it's a temple. Of where you go to learn, amen, where you go to pay homage to God, to recognize and publicly, acknowledge publicly of your relationship with God. You know, and there are various institutions in there that God has ordained. Now, what I've been talking, I started talking about Jesus the Christ. The Christ, we explain, means the anointed one. And we talked about in Daniel, in the book of Daniel, where it mentions the Messiah. And in the Hebrew language, it says the anointed one. And then the anointing is a power that is given by, in this case, God. Now, you can be anointed by the Queen of England. You know, it's an appointment of authority that where you travel, you carry the Queen's authority. And the same thing, you could be, you know, that's the same as, you know, you going and somebody giving you, it's like you get God's credit card to do God's business. But what is what we're trying to clarify is that that name isn't just we say it, but it means it's like almost like a book, a paragraph, a statement in itself whenever it's mentioned. You know, there's a phrase that I remember coming across or I heard starting hearing when I first started going to church seriously back in the 70s, and that was, I plead the blood. You know, I would, you know, I don't say things. I'm not going to tell people what not to say, but I don't say what I don't know, okay? Because I don't want somebody to ask me what that mean, and I can't explain what that mean, but I can explain that. That statement, plead the blood, is a statement to the spirit world, to both the angels and the demon. I have authority from God to whatever. Whatever you're applying it to, okay? If you need healing, I plead the blood. That means I have authority for God based on the fact 1 Peter 2:24 said, by his stripes I was healed. That's letting the demons know they had to back off their attack because the blood of Jesus have secured that for me. If it's a need of finances, Satan fighting your finances when they plead the blood. See, this is all these things are synonymous and connected together. The key, what comes missing with people is they don't do their part. God has already done his part. He done everything that can be done. And still, if you don't take time to read the Bible yourself and pray to God yourself, that's on you. You're not going to stand before God and say, well, my pastor didn't tell me that. And if you are not, you can't even say you're blind because they got a Bible in Braille. I mean, you can't. If you really have to be organically brain damaged, and I realize there are people like that, you got to have a serious dysfunction. I mean, you'll make it to heaven, but you won't be able to use. Don't try to use that as an excuse. Believe me, God is he's merciful, but he ain't stupid. I mean, come on, you graduated from college with 4 master's degrees and you're going to tell God you didn't have time to read the Bible. That ain't going to work for you. I can tell you that now. You should be doing what I'm doing. You should be teaching. You got that much earthly education. You definitely need some spiritual education. If you got less spiritual education than you have earthly education, you a pauper. P-A-U-P-E-R, poor in the spirit. Amen. All right. So let's do a little quick review here. We went through Leviticus chapter 14, where it talked about the cleansing of the leper, and it went through a lot of details of using hyssop. God gave him instructions. You take the hyssop, take two birds, a living bird and a dead bird, and you dip the bird in the blood. Amen. Blood. Now, I said that you got to look into the spiritual now, because blood and flesh and blood don't go into the kingdom of God. All right? And the only person who was able to do that was Jesus. And what he took, what you're talking about, if you strip the corpuscles, I believe that's the term, and all that other stuff that make up that little red substance you use, inside of that, the energy force is called life. This is why God prohibited eating blood. And I look up steak, and that is not blood that people eat when they eat a medium rare or a rare steak. That's not blood. I forgot the term. I meant to look it up. That's not blood unless you cut it off live. And when they, I've been to the slaughterhouse. I know what goes on. They drain all that out. So, but anyway, it's another name for the material. But the fact of the matter is, the significant aspect is blood. Now, when we talk, so when Jesus, when you say the Christ, there are times when you see, we're going to see if we get to it today, Christ Jesus. The name's reversed. It's Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. Either way it goes, it's the anointing. It's the empowerment for God. Let me look this up. I want to get this right now because I want you to have it right as it says. And I'm looking at Matthew chapter 28. This is after Jesus' resurrection. And he approaches his disciples, and Matthew, I had it right, I just wanted to be sure, Matthew 28:18. Now listen at this, it said, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It's the transference of authority from the Lord God Jehovah to his son Jesus. All right? So you got, this is, we're going to get through all this one day. But this is what, now that's right there is a declaration of saying, even though he is the Christ, they said he was the Christ. We looked at that when he asked the disciples, said, who do men say that I am? That right there is what he's talking about. That right there is a very key phrase, because this is what it is when we are allowed to use the name Jesus. Now, I want to go back through this, through another typology, and I want to go to Exodus chapter 29. Now, this is, again, going back to when Aaron is being consecrated. Preparated, cleared, preparated, I just made that up, you can add it to your dictionary, this is how God is establishing the priesthood. In other words, the authority of a man that represents man to God. Key phrase is, one, as a high priest, Jesus is now the high priest. He's the only high priest. He's the only one in existence. You know, I know they're going to resurrect this priesthood. That's part of end time prophecy, okay? And don't attack them when they do. This is a FYI. For people that have been taught to hate Jews, you stop that. Please stop, because you condemn yourself. Listen. They're not chosen more than you. If you look at 1 Peter 2, verse 5 and 9, you are chosen. And you actually, physically, spiritually have more power with God than they do right now. And God, though, expects you to pray for them every day. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's in Scripture, okay? So you need to be clear on that, because that right there is one of those issues that Satan slip up on people and they will block your blessing, open the door for him to come in and kill you and your children. That's how serious it is. I'm stating that. That's dangerous. People die over this foolishness, ignorance. Ignorance of the word is no excuse. I believe that's in Leviticus chapter 4. Okay, you had to break that down. Okay, nobody gets out of that. But anyway, I want you to just, all this here says how significant we are to God, how significant this office is to him. See, it's so when you, matter of fact, as I mentioned in 1 Peter 2, it says you're the royal priesthood. It's something, we don't get enough teaching on that, because we don't realize what's going on in the world. God is looking at what the royal priesthood is doing. He ain't looking at the sin. He gave the royal priesthood authority to deal with the sinners. That's what their purpose is. That's their job. All right, so here they are. They made the journey. God is getting ready to establish his office. This is another typology of Christ. Amen. And hallelujah. So in Exodus 29, and I'm going to read up to, we're just going to read till the Holy Ghost say stop. We're not going to read the whole thing. Okay, up to verse 7. All right. I think it's saying... missed it again. All right. It says, and this is the thing that thou shalt do unto hallow them and minister. This is the thing that you shall do unto them to hallow them to minister unto me in the priest's office. Take one young bullock, two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread, cakes unleavened, tempered with oil, wafers, Unleavened, anointed with oil of wheaten flour shall you make them, and you shall put them in the basket, and bring them in the basket with the bullock to the rams. And the Aaron and his son shall bring unto the door of the tabernacle, shall bring, and Aaron and his sons shall bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall wash them, Aaron and his sons, with water. And you shall take the garments and put upon Aaron the coat and the robe and the ephod and the breastplate, and gird them with the curious girdle of the ephod, and you shall put the mitre upon his head, and put the holy crown upon the mitre, and you shall take the anointing oil and pour it up on his head and anoint him. All right, and I'm going to stop right there. Actually, if you probably recognize, you'll see that the Catholic Church does this with the Pope. They're trying to keep a connection between the Old and New Testament. This is just something I think. I think the reason why God he don't argue with people anyway. But it does, the impact that has is that people, I don't know how to state that, I would say lesser understanding or faith, this impresses them. And this is why they esteem the Pope so, you know. He's supposedly the vicar of Christ. I pray for him. When I'm praying every morning, I pray for him, you know, because it takes a lot of us to break that yoke off. It's going to take a lot of us. Amen. And 950 million people believe what they don't read, because they don't read the Bible. Okay, but anyway, this is where all that come from. But God did away with that when Jesus was resurrected from the cross. That's why he said, and now note, he said all power was given unto him. He had the only purpose. You have that power. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've asked him to come into his heart, that power that he said that God gave to him, he gave to you. And this is what I'm trying to heighten your awareness to, that being a Christian, okay, being a Christian means you have that power, and you're supposed to be, and the main thing right now, you should be developing a sensitivity. I'm going to put it on me. I am developing a sensitivity to know when God wants to, and I'm out in public, to do whatever miraculous thing he wants to do, because God is going to start doing that through those of us that sit in the pew. Amen. It's not going to be just to the fivefold ministry. It really never has been. It never has been. If you go and read through the book of Acts, it comes, this is the thing. You have to submit unto God. That's what gets it done. And as you submit unto God, as a matter of fact, we're going to go to read in the book of Numbers about a classification called the Nazarite, of which Jesus was a Nazarite in Matthew. So I want you to read this about a Nazarite. And it's a lot of things, because this is another breakdown of a word you probably hear called sanctification or consecrated. This is how we arrive at those statuses. And we didn't come to these conclusions. Remember, God oversaw the writing of the Bible. It was very critical. You had two of Moses' nephews that was killed when they got out of order. That tells me, and they probably weren't the only one. They were the ones that the Bible identified. And that was because God didn't want nobody making up stuff. It was very critical because he knew our lives was going to depend on us knowing, having the whole truth. And I'm sure during history, there have been more people that died, tried to tamper with the thing. Matter of fact, in the book of Revelation and near the end of chapter 22, it says if you add to this book, God going to add the plagues that's in this book to your life. And if you take from this book, he's taking your name out of the book of life, you're going to hell and burn forever. So don't go there. All right. Numbers chapter 6 here. It said, the Lord said to Moses, I'm reading out of the NIV, amen. And, okay. But anyway, it says, speak to the Israelites and say to them, if a man or a woman If a man or a woman, if a man or a woman wants to make a special vow, a vow of separation, sanctification, consecration to the Lord as a Nazarite, he or she, this is where now, he or she, we're going to go through this. I'm only going to read the verse 7. He or she must abstain from wine and other fermented drink and must not drink vinegar made from wine or from other fermented drink. He must not drink grape juice, eat grapes, or raisins. How about that? You know, people say they don't drink wine, but then they eat grapes. I eat plenty of grapes. It's good for your blood. But there's a reason for that. It says, as long as he is a Nazarite, he must not eat anything that comes from the grapes, he must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, not even the seeds or skins. Now, this is a key phrase that people leave out. There is a, quote, denomination called the Nazarenes, but they leave this out. And if you're leaving something out, once you leave a truth out, you know what it becomes? All right. It's a three-letter word. Start with a L. You'll figure it out. During the entire period of his vow of separation, no razor may be used on his head. He must be holy until the period of his separation to the Lord is over, and he must let his hair, and he must let the hair of his head grow long. This is why Jesus never got a haircut. Amen. Throughout the period of his separation to the Lord, he must not go near a dead body. Even if his own father or mother or brother or sister dies, he must not make himself ceremonial unclean on account of them because of the symbol of his separation to God on his head. Now, I'm reading this because it relates to, as I said, Jesus. I'm going to go read in Matthew chapter 2, verse 23, when Mary is being told about the coming of our Messiah. Okay, now I'm reading, all right, but anyway, okay. Anyway, at this point, you know, they didn't try to kill Jesus. Herod tried to, after his birth, tried to seek him out and kill him because, you know, he was King of Kings and Lord. He is King of Kings, definitely King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But here it makes this statement. It says, but when Herod was dead, this is in Matthew 2, verse 19. It said, but when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream unto Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into other parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt there in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Amen. And there, that connection there, but anyway, so I just read from you in Numbers chapter 6 about the doctrine of the Nazarene, and that right now, you don't need to go there right now, but you can consecrate yourself, but do it under the guidance of the Lord. You know, only two people in the Bible fasted 40 days that I know of. I think it was a third one, but I can only remember two, and that was Moses, and that was Jesus, and they both had an anointing, which we're talking about. Okay, and as a matter of fact, I need to bring that to your remembrance. Christ means the anointing, the empowerment from God. which you received at your rebirth. All right. Now, so we're talking about having the power of God, and so then what do I need it for? Well, you need it to do the will of God. That's what it was about. I want to go into one character. We're going to see how many we can get through here. I want to read one that's preeminent. This is not a mythical story. It's a true event in the book of Judges, chapter 13, I believe. We're going to read about a man named Samson, a little bit about him anyway, how he came to be. And this is a beautiful story. But anyway, all right. So let's read here. Now, note what it's starting out with. It says, again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, so that the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. 40 years. You don't want to cross God, because I've had that experience, and he don't have a watch or a clock. He just know when, and when he say enough is enough until then, you don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. 40 years. And you know what? They did this more than once. You would think once. That's a generation that they were like, I ain't going there again, but they did. All right, a certain man of Zorah named Manoah, from the clan of the Danites, just as an FYI, say Dan was a brother. Anyway, had a wife who was sterile and remained childless. I'm reading from the NIV. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto her and said, you are sterile and childless, but you are going to conceive and have a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine nor fermented drink, that you do not eat anything unclean. That means during this time she can't no ham sandwiches, no catfish. That's what it was back then. It is what it is. They couldn't eat fish without scales, and the only fish I know without scales are catfish. So, and very few people eat carp. But anyway, it says, because you will conceive and give birth to a son, no razor may be used on his head. Now, I'm talking about this. I'm giving you a typology of the Christ. This has been going on, and God used this evolutionary process to really clarify how significant this is, because you look today and people be Christian, and I've met a Christian that told me they keep their Christianity private. I say, God going to keep whatever he do for you private, which means he ain't going to do nothing. Okay, because Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. And you don't want to be denied. Especially when you're going to need God. I know rich people got money and health bad, you know. But anyway, now see to it that you drink no wine or any other fermented drink, that you do not eat anything unclean, because you will conceive and give birth to a son. No razor may be used on his head, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, set apart to God from birth, and he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistine. Now, mind you, Israel got themselves in trouble doing evil in this sight. You know, you can go through the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, and they just go the opposite of it, what it was, worshiping other gods, coveting, because they were in the cult, because they were, even though they lived in their own neighborhood, they would venture out, and they would go and see how the pagans were living in. And, you know, pagans have fun, but they don't have revelation. Now, we can have fun, but we have to have fun that's acceptable to God. And that's where you get into trouble. And because people will see fun things, this is why people think that, because sex feels good, right? Those of us that's married know that, okay? So, but these folks that think sex, I just can't imagine how homosexuals had that fun. That's beyond me. I don't. Man, you must, most men over 50 that had to get a prostate exam. If you put your hands over your kids' ears or tell them what I'm talking about, one of the two. But they have to get a prostate exam where they have to examine you. You had to. They have to examine you from the rear. That's I'm gonna keep it clean. All right, and that ain't fun at all. That's why most men don't want to get an exam. And then, woo, Jesus, they even go so far as to do this treatment where they stick a camera up there. I don't think so. But anyway, bottom line is they got off into sin. And when you get off into sin, okay, even though it says in God delivered them, what happens? I had this phrase and I said, when Satan sees God with his arms folded, he know he can attack. When he see the hedge removed, that's even better because that you can find in the book of Job. When he see the hedge is down, he come in for the attack. And he is brutal and violent when he does. Okay? And right now, this is another reason why I'm trying to help you understand why you need to be understanding how to operate in the power of God. Even if you don't belong in a church where they teach this. And that may even be, strange, the will of God. Okay? Because God can you know, like I said, get you some vitamin B Bible. But you want to understand this process because sometimes I know for a fact there's this nun that I think she's still alive, Sister Mary Elizabeth. She's a sanctified Holy Ghost tongue-talking, havoc-wearing nun. But God want her where she is because she's effective in praying and carrying out the will of God right there. So that, you know, I mean, that God has done that. I know right now about 5 miles from me, there's a Baptist Pentecostal church where they pray in tongues, okay? So God is doing some things. I mean, God is, he's doing some things. So I'm not saying leave your church, but do know you want to know your rights in the kingdom of God anyway. That's what's in the Bible. Because I don't know what's coming. You think COVID was something, the next hit gonna be harder. And you want to be able to utilize your power that God gave you, okay? This is not that stuff they be talking about in the little meetings and stuff, your self-empowerment. No, you want the anointing. You want what Satan gonna recognize. Satan don't recognize nothing else. That's what I was talking about earlier, the pleading the blood. And for those of you that, I mean, you want to be able to utilize that, all of that is ineffective if you're doing evil in the sight of the Lord. So you want to know what's evil in the sight of the Lord. If you don't know, ask him. Google it. But anyway, all right, so we didn't got through here. What did we get? It said, then a woman went to her husband and told him, a man of God, so this angel appeared, okay. Oh, am I reading? Oh, did I read? Oh, yeah, okay. I switched over. I led y'all, right? I told y'all I'm in Judges chapter 13. Okay, because the woman is sterile and childless. And then the angel instructed her not to drink any wine, all right? All right, here. It said, then a woman went and told her husband. Imagine that. And people are having this experience now. It may happen to you. You don't know when an angel appears. When there are some events that God do, trust me, you will make no mistake about what is happening. I'm telling you. Jesus. I ain't going to go there now. Woo, hallelujah. We're dealing with a God that don't have a birthday that is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. Don't try to put him at the level of man. You need to raise your awareness up. That's what this is about. Raise your mind past what you know because you're going to need to deal with it. It said, then the woman went and told her husband, a man of God came to me. He looked like an angel of God. Very awesome. All angels don't look like Gabriel either. War angels don't. But anyway, I didn't ask him where he came from, and he didn't tell me his name. But he said to me, you will conceive and give birth to a son. Now then, drink no wine or other fermented drink. Do not eat any unclean thing, because the boy will be a Nazarite of God from birth until the day of his death. And thank you, Holy Ghost. Nazarite is consecrated. consecrated, sanctified, all that comes with the anointing. And the anointing won't come without it. That's what I'm, see, that's what that part when we were reading about Aaron being, he had to be washed with water, okay? Then they had to put blood, they had to pour the oil on him. They washed him with water, poured the oil in him. That's back in Exodus chapter 20. Then washed him with water, poured the oil on him. Last week we read they washed the leper, okay? Then sprinkled him with blood. You have to be clean. So that goes, all this goes back to, I have said in the past, and now I'm trying to help you understand that when you receive Christ, between you and the Spirit of God is a layer of the blood of Jesus that cleanses you and protects you, okay? We're going to get, not today, we're going to get where the blood protects. You know, people, blah, 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 blah. We know about the situation with the Ten Commandments. I mean, when the death angel came through the camp and killed all the firstborn of Egypt. Amen. It was the blood that protected them. But I'm trying to get you to understand, okay, you've got the blood applied. You've got the Spirit of God applied. And so now I want you to see how significant it is. This here draws a picture of it, hopefully, to your mind. And again, pray, worship God. Get in the habit of worshiping God. Set your alarm. Set your clock. You'll see. It takes something to worship God and just say, I thank you, Lord, and I praise your holy name. But just 2 minutes. But I tell you what, I guarantee you, it will change your life. 2 minutes. You'll see the blessing for 2 minutes, you will up it. Some of the most powerful men that I've ever read about, you know how long they praised the Lord? People think it was like hours, 40 hours, 50 hours, 10 minutes a day. 10 minutes. One of the most powerful men that walked on this planet. he never fasted more than 3 days. it don't take all that. What it takes is that submissive life after those 3 days. You remember? Okay. We're gonna keep walking through this. All right. So let's draw this picture. Samson is coming on the scene. He's about to be born, but there's a process. Samson is another type of Christ coming to deliver us from our sin. Okay? All right. So then Manoah prayed to the Lord. See what he did? I don't expect people to just believe what I say. They go to God. Take it to God. I want you to take it to God. He might tell you something that I didn't hear. Or know that good for us to know, and then you send me an email, and we can all share it, okay? Somebody recently explained to me silent prayer, what type of silent prayer is. I have for years said there's no such thing as silent prayer, and I was corrected. And I can be corrected when you show it to me in the Word. I'm not going to talk about that right now, but it is a silent prayer, but it is not the type of prayer when you need a car, you need your bills paid, that you use silent prayer. It is a silent prayer, though. Hallelujah. Anyway, and then Manoah prayed to God. He said, oh, Lord, now note this. He's saying a silent prayer because they wrote it down. Oh, Lord, I beg you, let the man of God you sent to us come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born. That's a legitimate request. Okay. God heard Manoah, and the angel came again to the woman while she was out in the field. Who said women couldn't work? But anyway, her husband, you know, for years they held that women should be at home. Well, you know. But her husband Manoah was not with her. The woman heard to tell her husband, he's here, the man who appeared to me the other day. And Manoah got up and followed his wife, and I'm reading fast because time is getting on. Manoah got up and followed his wife, and he came to the man. He said, are you the one who talked with my wife? Okay. I'm going to skip through this anyway. The angel confirmed what he had told his wife about that. My whole point is that this is where we get this. We didn't make up how a sanctified life is, but let me tell you what's behind that. You know, I recently learned, and I'm just learning this, so I'm not going to teach it until I can clear teach it, because I'm challenged with this as it is. You know, I'm giving you basic stuff. There are deeper teachers. My brother's one pastor on these particular issues. You might want to contact him. I'll have the information. That I'm just trying to get your mind to get away, to get into the reality of our life. We're looking. We don't think eternal life. We don't think in these terms. See, they have Satan has slipped up and called this religion. No. This is what life is. This is not religion. This is life. And these are, it is so many details to it. And as a result, I'm seeing, I would say, people suffering unnecessarily, dying unnecessarily. There's no, it's not your time to die at the age of 35. People die at 35 because they don't have direction from God to avoid it. And they don't access it. Most never have received Christ. Some have received Christ, but like I did back in 1971, didn't take it seriously. As a result, they gone. I mean, hopefully they was in a position that they went to heaven. You know, being Christian don't automatically guarantee you go to heaven. I don't know if somebody tell you that lie. You need, that's a church you need to lead. Okay? You don't, ain't no automatic. You know, no. You have to live a certain life. This is where that come from, all right? So hopefully I've drawn a picture more of what a Nazarene is, but what it is to have a consecrated, dedicated to God life. Now, I want to read one particular incident that shows you, because at the appointed time, and it will be at the appointed time and that time only, let me see. I just wrote it down, right? Okay, there we go. Hopefully, there we go. All right. Now, this is Samson after he's grown up. You know, I don't know what age he is, but he's a man now. Okay, and Samson has been kicking behind. Let's put it shortly. Samson had, if there's movies out about him, I mean, he had, the one that's on YouTube is pretty good. Anyway, they tried to cap. He was, remember he was, his purpose of being born was to deliver the children of Israel from their captors, the Philistines, you know, after it took 40 years. Whew, that's a long time. But anyway, God sent him to deliver them. He was what was called a judge. Again, there are teachers on judges. You need to understand that. One was a woman. Her name was Deborah. But anyway, I don't know where people get men. But anyway, I need to address that because we're talking about the anointing, and women are anointed. I know a woman once, she was about to lose her man before she stepped into her office. This was years ago. She realized that she had to choose between God and man. Okay, Paul said he suffered women to be silent in the church. Okay, Paul didn't know everything. The fact that it's in the Bible means it actually happened. He actually said it. But it has to line up with God's word. And God, well, God, there's a prophetess. I can't remember her name. A prophetess, that's an office that you don't get into without God. She held up Jesus to God. I mean, come on now. Let's be real. This is what God says. So you have to take, that's why you have to take it to God. I know a man of God, religious. He doesn't have as much anointing as Paul, and yet he's done more than Paul. But, again, God may give you a revelation that he did not give Paul. Paul was at a critical time. He was at the beginning. And if you think about it, you compare an automobile when they first made automobiles to an automobile now. You have more knowledge, more revelation of what it takes to make them function. Same thing in the body of Christ. It just that it cannot violate the word of God. Okay? That's all. If God give you a revelation, it has to line up. Okay? But anyway, where was we at? Okay, Samson here. Where we at on time? All right, we got time. All right, so this is the deal. He's going into battle by himself. Okay, and the Philistines went up and camped at up in Judah and spreading out near Lehi. And the men of Judah asked, why have you come? We have come to take Samson a prisoner. And they answered, to do him as he did to us. Bottom line, he beat him down. All right. So, and then 3,000 men from Judah went down to the cave in the rock of Edom, said to Samson, don't you realize the Philistines are rulers over us? What have you done to us? Okay. Kind of remind you of back when Moses beat down this, back during the time when Moses was locked up. But anyway, Samson is R-A-Z-I-N-G, raising hell. I like that. R-A-Z has a difference from R-A-I-S-I-N-G. He's not lifting up hell, he's tearing it down. Okay, and then they said, we've come to tie you up and hand you over to the Philistines. Swear to me that you won't kill yourselves. Swear to me that you won't kill me yourself. Okay. Agreed, they answered. So let me make this plain. They're saying they're going to tie him up, turn him over to the Philistines. All right. Let me skip down. So he gets down there. Verse 14, he says, as he approached the high, the Philistines came towards him, shot him. The Spirit of the Lord, the Philistines came towards Samson shouting. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. We're talking about the anointing. The ropes of his arms became charred flax and bindings dropped from his hands, finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey. Yeah, they cleaned that up real good. And grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men. Then Samson said, with a donkey's jawbone, in the King James, say jawbone of an ass. Anyway, then Samson said, with a donkey's jawbone, I have made donkeys of them. And with a donkey's jawbone, I have killed 1,000 men. Now imagine they got to go back and tell their boss, their king, they got beat down by one man, unarmed, grabbed a piece of bone, skull bone, and killed 1,000 men. Now, this a power, and if you, to get advanced teaching on this, let me put it like this: if you submit to God, He will teach you at a time of threat how to access His power for your defense. If you are keeping your life in alignment with Him. At the end of every video, I put on there 7 causes of prayer failure. If you're keeping yourself in alignment with God, that's one of the key factors. People say it don't work. What don't work? Prayer don't work. Well, it don't work under your conditions. It only works under God, and that is the whole of this life, for us to learn to be submissive to God. We have this power. See, I'm talking about this because people are saying, what difference does it make being a Christian? I can't get nothing done as a Christian. Well, you can't do it if you're not doing what God say do, how He say do, where He say do it. You can't. You know, I seen a guy one day, this was years ago, not at the church that I'm at now, but he was fussing with his wife. And I'm like, wow, how can you do that? How can you do that? That's God's daughter. You know what? I think one of the worst measurements of prosperity is money. Does anybody have money? Dope dealers got money. Thieves got money. Murderers got money. Hitmen got money. Okay? But to be able to operate in the power of God. And right now, as it becomes critical, you know, it's been some times, some events that have happened because we didn't really pursue God. We think that we just supposed to be, you know, we read that scripture in Romans where it says we are like sheep led to the slaughter and think that's the only way it can go down. But in Paul in Acts chapter 13 spoke blindness to a man. I mean, this is a power, but it's like having a gun. It's like having a weapon. There are conditions to it. Anybody can't legally have a gun. You can't have a criminal record. So in God's case, you can't have spiritual criminal behavior. There's some context to that, but you can do it. I'm telling you, Satan would have to shut down a war in another country to bring enough demons just to turn my power off. That's because I've learned, and the reason is I'm me. It's the anointing. It's the authority. But in order to operate that, in order for me to command angels to protect my power grid during a storm, I have to be in alignment with the Word of God. And it all comes into play. But that power is there. Why? Because, again, the life we're going to, that's going to be full time. Full time. Here, the Spirit, here it says in verse 14, Judges 15:14, the Spirit of the Lord came up on him. See, there, maybe next week we'll get into the Spirit upon versus the Spirit within. When you get born again, you got the Spirit within. But in Acts 1:8, it's the Spirit upon. Now, there is a, again, without even saying anything, but it's steps that people look, they read the story, but they don't step back and say, okay, God, how does this relate to me? If it's in the Bible, it relates to you now. This was not then, okay? There are events we're going to see in the New Testament that is just mind-blowing, happens with average individuals. So much mind-blowing that I shudder to think there's been preachers that try to justify it or try to, I'll call it earthify it or whatever, try to make it seem like it wasn't that way. Because it's no. Because you got to bring yourself to a place, this is what it is. You don't give more power to a person that lacks maturity. I can say I was one of the few deputies in my job that was being able to fire a fully automatic weapon. But I had to go through some rigorous training to get to that place. It don't just happen. And God, right now as we move in the last days, is going to glorify his name, but he's going to do it to those who will sanctify and consecrate themselves. Now, you know, I still get on, watch YouTube movies. I haven't been to a movie lately. Take a lot to get me to go to the movie because I just don't like stupid. But, you know, and my stupid and your stupid are two different stupids. But point of the matter, I don't go for some religious reason. You know, I still drag race and I've been building a motor, waiting on a part that's sitting out in the ocean, you know. You know, I'm trying to pray it up in there, but, you know, that ain't essential. But the point of the matter is you are a significant person, and I want you, we're moving into the Christmas holidays. We didn't even get to Elisha and the anointing that was in his bones. We're going to come, all this, so you will understand that as a Christian, you are some kind of powerful person. You just need to let God guide you, educate you, and bring you to the place where you understand how significant, how you can have an impact on your job, how you can raise your income by raising the company's income. You just need to know who you are in Christ. In Christ. Amen. Well, with all that said, being in Christ, you got to make sure you're in Christ. And, you know, I like to say, my pastor said, God made it so easy that a 2-year-old, I think he said a 7-year-old, they had to at least be able to talk. But anyway, a 7-year-old can get this. And it's just this simple. This is deep. This is the deep. This is the easy part. All you got to do is say this prayer. Lord God, I believe you sent your son to die for us. And I believe that I was born in sin. And I acknowledge that I need Jesus as my Savior. And I say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. Father, I thank you that I believe that I am saved. And I believe I am born again. And I thank you, Jesus. And I thank you, Holy Ghost. And if you're outside of the, if you're already a Christian, and you ain't been to church in the last 15 years, maybe 50 years, just say this, Lord God, forgive me. And I'm coming back to you, and I thank you for my restoration, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, that right there, I'm telling you, it's so simple, and because we don't feel nothing rushing through, You know, no tears coming out of our eyes. We don't think anything happened. But God don't lie. And if you read the words, you'll begin to see it. And if you spend time with God, he'll show you some things. And then he'll certify it. You'll be watching TV, watching somebody on preaching on the word, or be at church and hear your pastor say, wow, the Holy Ghost just told me that. Amen. And remember this. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom. Be blessed. See you next week.
Give us the truth.
Part two. For every email, for every phone call, for everybody that came up to me at a show, here's part two. Listen, yo.
After the Platinum Souls tour, I deal with Cross Movement. I said my goodbyes because I had to fly back to St. Louis. I left the tour early for my first semester in school. I was exposed to so much truth that I had to choose.
So much
between what I had learned and what I was taught to do. In my church, on my zone, I was so confused. The first Sunday morning back, it was like culture shock.
What?
Watching the shepherd and sheep explode like a soda pop. That heaven's shaking, they shaking over these sighty sermons. People spitting and shouting, but nobody's discerning. I left the building, my feelings were crushed, I felt forsaken. The one place I was supposed to come for restoration. In worship of a holy God and exalt him in praises. Spent the whole prayer time rebuking the Satan. Sermon time just talking about money while I was dying inside and spiritually hungry. That's what we need if we gon' properly teach. If we gon' seek, then we gon' properly reach.
Yeah.
That's what we need if we gon' carry our cross. If we gon' effectively disciple the Lord. That's what we need if we gon' walk up in holiness and boldness and meek and loneliness. That's what we need in this race we running. Proper lessons as we wait for his second coming.
Listen,
I left the crib, moved into the dorms, so depressed that I ventured in porn. It was a crazy thing. I felt the disconnect from Jesus' arms, so I ceased to write these rhythms and poems to disobey the king.
Reality.
I told my teachers that I was living in sin. In my Bible, I'd never read it again and threw it in the closet.
I did.
And anything that had to do with God, Marcus T, he was doing the opposite in the lifestyle. I called Fanatic and Tonic on the cell and said for ministry that I was going to tell, because I was in no position to minister to anybody at all, because I wasn't sure if I was a Christian at that moment, dog. I started skipping classes, hanging with the masses, and my days were black and gray like cigarette ashes. All I know is that I wanted to die, but suicide meant me and the guy that I thought understood me. That's what we need if we don't properly teach. If we gon' seek, then we gon' properly reach.
Yeah.
That's what we need if we gon' carry our cross. If we gon' effectively disciple the Lord. That's what we need if we gon' walk up in holiness and boldness and meek and loneliness. That's what we need in this race we running. Proper lessons as we wait for his second coming. But it was obvious.
It was
God in his providence put me with people to guide me and guide me out of this. In the chapel service, a cat named Paul Washer preached the gospel and drove me onto the Lord's altar. And I confessed my sin and he pressed reset again. I started over and felt like a soldier for Jehovah.
Yahweh.
I called my old pastor and apologized for how I behaved.
Sorry,
but
man.
As of that day, we agreed to go our separate ways. But I met this girl named Beth who told me about a church home.
Okay.
First I visited, became a member, and then it was on. Then the pastor gave me a stack of books
to read these.
Now I'm back with raps and hooks, yeah. Took the summer and spent $300 on tapes and books and learned from these biblical scholars, yeah. Now I'm back and I'm walking in light, living my life, glorifying Jesus in Christ. That's what we need if we gon' properly teach. If we gon' seek, then we gon' properly reach.
Yeah.
That's what we need if we gon' carry our cross. If we gon' effectively.